B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Sixers, Saturday night versus the Pacers. And the man now calling it for real from kind of a different area. These aren't exhibition games anymore. He's got to be pumped for the season. He is the play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia 76ers on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Mark Zumwalt. Zoo, are you ready?
My man. Of course. I was born. Hey, before we start, I just heard Natalie talking about some kind of a poll reuniting Sixers and Flyers fans. What's that about?
Well, we are trying to, I'm calling it the unified front. We have had in the past fan bases divided here in this city. And you're well aware of them. There are hockey fans who resent the Sixers. There are Sixer fans who won't even look towards hockey. So we are trying now to say, in this COVID-19 world, these two teams represents the fortune of this city. And there should be no division on or jealousies on which team is better, or which team I'm going to watch, or who I'm going to resent. That's the kind of thing we're aiming for today, Mark.
All right, well, that's good. I'm not sure that I get that, but I guess I can understand why some people feel that way, but listen.
Yeah, I don't get it either. But
anything with Philadelphia in front of it, I'm rooting for.
Right, exactly. And right now, this is a big weekend, because you're talking about two teams now that are kicking it off, and both of them have a reasonable shot. So all this stuff about that's going on with baseball and the Phillies and whether we're going to have to call off that season and all the problems that come with the NFL, those have to be subordinate to what we're going into now this weekend.
Well, let me say this. We can all unite around the fact that NBC Sports Philadelphia is home to both teams.
That is correct.
There you go.
Yes, and 97.5 The Fanatic is home to both teams.
There you go.
So let's talk about what you saw in the exhibition games, and what happens now when this season starts. Is the rotation settled? Is he still tinkering with the rotation? The Embiid situation. Lay it all out for us, and what we're going to see Saturday with the Sixers.
Sure. So the NBA has an injury update at 5:00, and we'll find out for sure about Joel Embiid. Brett Brown had been saying as late as the scrimmage a couple of nights ago, and he seemed to imply today in some respects that Joel should be able to play. But again, I don't want to speculate. We'll find out at 5:00 for sure if he's going to be available tomorrow. In terms of what I've seen, obviously the big story is the new lineup. And I think what this has done is allow Ben Simmons a lot more maneuverability, a lot more opportunity to take his unique talents and go to different places on the floor. There's been a lot of talk about Ben getting the ball at the elbow, and he, in fact, said today that when he gets it at the elbow, it's a lot different than when he's bringing the ball up. When he's bringing the ball up, he's looking to get guy shots or get the team into its offense. But when he gets the ball at the elbow, there's a bit of a different mentality, and he's looking to score a little bit more. I think we've seen the emergence of Tobias Harris as a true leader. I certainly think that along with Joel Embiid, he can be a go-to guy at the end of the game. In terms of the rotation, well, I think that you're going to have Alec Burks come off and be a guy who's going to get your buckets. Obviously, Furkan Korkmaz is going to hold his place. I would think Mike Scott will be in there, but then again, you have a crowd at the wing position. You have Matisse Thybulle, a guy who has been hitting shots and did so during the scrimmages. You have Glenn Robinson III, who's been left out of the lineup. He was left out the last scrimmage because of a hip pointer that he suffered the game before, but I am told he's had a tremendous camp and a guy who plays both ends. So Brett Brown does have a good problem in that regard. Having a guy like Al Horford, a five-time All-Star, come off the bench, I think is a luxury. And I think the real thing that you will see is you will not see Horford, Embiid, and Simmons together, but you will certainly see some combination of Horford and Simmons or Horford and Embiid going forward.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, I like that. Now, the one thing we saw, and you saw obviously, was their consistent defense when they have their starters in the game. Now, I know they're kind of hard to evaluate with them being missing two games, but did you think their defense was kicked up a notch?
Let's put it this way. When Joel Embiid is healthy and playing serious minutes, the Sixers are arguably a top, we'll say top five defensive team in the NBA. The luxury of having Al Horford is he is also a very good defensive player. Now, he plays differently. So, for example, when there's a pick and roll, Horford might position himself differently as opposed to Embiid, who I think might lay back a little bit more. But the point is the Sixers in general are a pretty good defensive team without Joel and a superior team with Joel. And clearly, with Brett Brown in charge, that's where they're going to hang their hat. That's what they're going to look at first, is how they're performing on the defensive end of the floor.
All right, let me address the rotation, the bench rotation, because I don't think it's a good problem. Because what you did was you mentioned six guys, and they can't play six guys. So I'm thinking that the exhibition season was really supposed to come up with a definitive eight, maybe nine guys he was going to count on. And I think you're right. I don't think that was cleared up yet. So in these eight games, we're still trying to figure out who's going to be on that shortened rotation. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think that's one of the primary purposes of these eight games. I mean, think about it. The Sixers aren't playing for home court. So that's out the window. You might say that it would behoove them to, you know, avoid the Milwaukee bracket. Say you take the four or the five spot, then you would figuratively have the Bucks in the second round. So if you want to delay them until the conference finals, it would behoove the Sixers to stay where they are. Not that they're throwing games. I mean, these guys are hardwired to win and they're going to try to win. But I think primarily one of the big things that Brett Brown is going to have to try to find is who he can plug in where and for what reason. So, you know, that good problem, or as you might put it, the bad problem, that's going to present itself through these eight games. And then listen, come playoff time, it's a very tight rotation. You go to eight, maybe nine. And even then your starter is going to play upwards of 36, 38 minutes at least. And that includes Embiid. So, that'll take care of itself once the postseason rolls around.
Talking to Mark Zuboff, play-by-play, Sixers broadcaster for NBC Sports Philly. Mark, you tapped right into me here because I do believe they are better off staying where they are. And so to me, tomorrow night is a must-lose situation. But it's going to be hard to lose to that team right now. So they are probably going to leap up. And they're going to get the Bucks in the second round. Now, do you believe they could be sharp enough for that kind of a challenge? I thought they needed two series to be sharp enough to get to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I hear exactly what you're saying, that they would have that much more of a test, that many more minutes to play together, to develop chemistry. I'll echo what Ben Simmons said earlier today, which was you know, the team, through whatever's happened in Orlando and whatever's happening on the court in terms of lineup changes, it's the best chemistry that he's experienced in his time with the team. So that's starting things off on the right foot. I guess you got to face the Bucks at some point. So, you know, if you got to face them in the second round, you got to face them in the second round. Would you prefer to delay it to the conference finals? Perhaps. But, you know, again, these guys are hardwired. I don't believe that any player for a second is going to, you know, look up at the scoreboard and say, all right, well, you know, we're losing at this point in the game, and I want to stay in the sixth spot. I don't think any player
No question about that. Only a cur like me would think that way. So the last question is now, what was the difference calling the game off of a screen as opposed to being live in the arena?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I'll throw myself under the bus. The first game, I learned a hard lesson in that I mistook twice, believe it or not, Tobias Harris for Matisse Thybulle. I think it was the other way around. You know, Tobias has changed his haircut. They both had two as their second number on their uniform. And, of course, I know better, but it was me just getting ahead of myself because I really couldn't see as well as I would if I were at the game in actuality. So what you end up doing is, as the announcer, as much as you want to deliver the information as crisply and as succinctly and as quickly as possible, sometimes you just have to wait. You're not sure what the call is. You have to wait to maybe hear the public address guy say what happened, or I have a living box score that gives you the ruling. Was it a traveling violation? You know, was it a shooting foul? That sort of thing. So, but the good thing is, like the players, I've had three scrimmage games now to make an adjustment, and I've made the adjustment, and I think it's going to be great. I think our channel, NBC Sports, has done a great job outfitting us. You know, we're in the hockey press box at Wells Fargo Center. My back is to the arena, but I'm facing into a booth that's about the size of a master bedroom. And I got a work desk. I got a couple of 32-inch monitors. I got lights, all that stuff. So, and it's nice and comfy, cozy. So it's home and it's safe and gives me a chance to bring Sixers basketball to Sixers fans. While I'm yapping here, Mike, I just want to give you my sales pitch for a second. NBC Sports Philadelphia, NBC Sports Philadelphia Plus for Sixers basketball, and into the first round of the playoffs as well. And in addition, we have Sixers pregame live, Sixers postgame live. We're starting an hour beforehand. So tune in an hour before the scheduled tip for the pregame show. And then, lest we forget, Sixers Outsiders with Crystal Rich and our man,
returning.
Tyrone Johnson.
Sixers Outsider, big news, returning. And we're looking forward to all of it. Listen, good luck to you. Everybody be good. This is going to be a very highly watched game. So we'll check in with you next week, maybe.
I love that. Thanks so much, Mark.
All right, Mark. Take care. Mark Zumoff, Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.